You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wells Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
How many of you love to know that God really, really loves you? Amen. I tell you what, sometimes we just get that little unction of the Lord that He really does love us. But most of the time, we're battling this world and all the things of this world, and we're constantly coming against who we're nots and what we should be's and what we shouldn't have done's and all this and all that, and it's constant conflict. But we thank God today. You know, Corinthians says, casting down all imaginations that exalt themselves over the Word of God. Amen. So we're to cast things down. And today, you probably had to cast a dozen things down, maybe more than that. You know what I'm saying? Things come through our mind. We think, well, why did I have such a terrible thought about that? You never realized that signpost you went by said that. You know, you think about a fickle thought you had or something like that. You don't know if that came through the news media or whatever, how you got it. But thank God today that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Can you say amen? So we constantly need to understand what's our life about. Is life just about coming to church? Is this our life? As Christians, we come to church. That's what we do. Well, thank God today that we do come to church, and that's a good thing. Can you say amen? I hope that you're all here today more than just because it was a commandment of God. You know, to forsake not yourselves together, nor yourselves together, amen. But I believe in the latter day, in which I believe that we're either there or getting there real quick, I do believe that it's not going to be just some kind of a thing that we do because we do it, because we're going to really say, we need one another. Yeah. We're going to need support from one another. We're going to, when one done gets down, the other be able to hold up. Thank God we're friends with Terry Myers. Thank God we can go in. And, you know, most people have gone, how about anybody close died to you in your life? Real close. You know, I know that people stayed away from us like the plague when our daughter passed away. You know, and then other people came to the memorial service that hadn't been in our life, had talked uglies about us and everything else and been trying to destroy our church for years and come to there and then talked about how great we were and how great she was. And we had to tie Tina down a little bit because she, you know, your children want to rally for your behalf. Amen. But we thank God today. We made a decision in our life, not just to be happy, but we decided life was too short to be angry or upset at anybody. And we've really tried to come into another measure of that. And you know what? To do that, you have to become bold and you have to become brave. Because I tell you what, if you're going to be a gospel person these days, you better be brave and you better be bold. Amen. And I tell you what, this mediocre Christianity is going to cease. Not because some preacher gets up there and brings condemnation to you, but because as you see the darkness increases, the Bible says that when the devil comes in like a flood, he's going to raise a standard. Who's the standard? How many standards we have here today? We are standards. Okay? Don't get quiet on me because it freaks me out, okay? So you can say amen. And when I say raise your hand, if you would, please raise your hand. Because if you don't, then I'm thinking this whole church is backslid, you know, and I go home all upset. You know what I'm saying? But no. Hey, listen, I do in prison work, and I get the guys doing that. One day we was making these guys stand up and raise their hands before the Lord, and they weren't responding real well. I don't know what was going on that day. Probably had a bad day or whatever, and you know, but the whole group was kind of cold and kind of sitting down. And so I said, hey, when I got arrested one time and the guns came out, guess what? My hands went up. And I said, that's a form of surrender. And I said, you know, no, the Lord ain't got a gun on you. But, you know, when we have opportunity, let's raise our hands onto the Lord and surrender to Him. This is a surrendering to Him, amen. And this one guy took offense. He come after me. It's the only time, 30-some-odd years in ministry of prisons and jails, first time I ever had one of the inmates come after me. And thank God for the brethren, because they grabbed a hold of him and calmed him down. We all prayed and we all was good after that. But so I hope nobody feel the pressure. I don't want anybody coming after me. Okay, Mike. Mike's a carrier, so don't mess with him. All right. Everybody say disciples. It's something I've been really thinking about. You know, What is our purpose? You know, is it just to come to church? And I'm really, this is something, this is my own meditational thing. You know, what is my purpose? It's not just because I'm a pastor, do I show up at church? Am I a disciple? See, because Jesus came to make disciples. He didn't come just to make a church to where we have some place to go and feel good about ourselves. He came to bring revelation to us of who we are and our purpose in life. Amen? And my purpose, thank God today, is not just to be married to my wife, although we've been married 49 years. That's not my purpose. And praise God, her purpose isn't that either. Our purpose is to serve Jesus Christ. Amen? And who is the standard for that? Well, you know, thank God when the pastors are good standards, and we should have good leaders. Can you say amen? But Jesus is the standard. So, you know, that I don't know about you, but that just kind of humbles me, because I realize that's a high mark, and I got a long ways before I get there. Amen. When I compare, I can compare myself to one of you or somebody else, and I can think I'm doing pretty good. Maybe, you know, maybe I wouldn't be doing very good. But I'm saying when I compare myself to Jesus, whoa, Lordy. Come on, I got some growing room. Amen. And big time. And so I did this. The disciples of God are bold and fearless. And so you might say the gospel is for the brave and the bold. Amen. I have it the other way around, bold and the brave. But everybody say no fear. No fear. See, fear brings darkness. Fear brings darkness. Amen. And that's the whole purpose, that we have an enemy that tries to bring fear into our life. Fear for this, fear for that. And unfortunately, governments run on that very thing. Mm-hmm. Ooh, excuse me. They motivate that fear, and they try to get everything they want done out of fear. How many of you know tonight? Kids will do that. Yeah. It's another form of manipulation. Unfortunately, husbands and wives get into that, where they try to bring fear of loss, fear of this, fear of that, into a situation to manipulate to get their own way. Can you say amen? I always say it this way. Fear works in three basic ways. Manipulation works with, first of all, flattery. Okay? Flattery is a good manipulational term, by the way. You know, because why? Everybody likes to be liked. Can you say amen? I think that's a natural thing that we want in our life. How many want to be liked? I do. You know, well, so if somebody wanted to try to manipulate me, all they'd have to do is start tweaking that a little bit. Yeah. Amen? Because why? It works against my pride. Okay? And so pride is the main failure of man. It was in Eden, in the Garden of Eden. It still is to this day. And so we realize that manipulator will try to flatter you. Okay? Little Johnny comes in and says, "Mommy, can I have a cookie?" Mama says, "Honey, it's too close to dinner." And he says, "I thought you loved me." Uh-huh. Okay? So he's first of all telling her how much he loves her. But then when he doesn't get what he wants, then what does he do? He brings accusation, a false accusing. How many of you today, we can't stand to be falsely accused? Yeah. Well, you're saying, where are you going with this, Pastor? I'm talking about how are we going to maintain our boldness in our fearlessness, and how are we going to stand in this world today when the whole world is geared to manipulate you and me into doing and saying and being who they say we are. So they use flattery. Then they use accusation, falsely accusing you. And then secondly, thirdly, then what do? They get mad. Anger. Guess what? We can't stand to have anybody mad at us. And so they manipulate us through flattery, through accusation, and through anger. And then the last one, I've added this lately, they depart. Okay? They abandon. And there's a whole generation that's abandoned people, and that is a form of manipulation to get you to change, to go their way. And so we want to be bold, and we want to be brave in the day that we live, not to be manipulated by this world. And Pastor was telling us, you know, governments, what is all this about? It's about to bring fear into our lives, to get us unassured of ourselves. And we thank God today. We don't have to be a rocket scientist, and I don't have to be a prophet to know that the Word of God warns us against these very things will come in the latter day. Amen. And we sit back and we think, now, why is this happening? Well, I can give, matter of fact, I pulled my shirt out because Pastor, you know, I've noticed I was up in Canada we're setting a whole new thrust into Canada. There's 49 communities without the gospel. A couple of them I think they said about 2/3 of them don't even have a church, even though it's not even a church that we'd want to go to. They don't even have anything. And so we're teaming up with a bunch of Indian ministry to get up and reach those areas. All of them have to be flown into. There's no roads to any of them. And so we're up there, and everybody, even with suits on, they were wearing their shirts out. I was going, what's with the? Well, man, that's the cool thing. Everybody wears their shirts out nowadays. So I went, okay, well, how's your nice belt buckle show, man, if you got your shirt out? I couldn't figure it out. All right. So anyways, everybody say fear. Fear brings darkness, but we are the creatures of the light. Can you say amen? Just do a Bible study of the word light. Woo, come on. You make you shine. We have never really been lost to God. That's why I can talk like this. We know even though we have done some things that maybe are not pleasing to God, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I tell you what, you have to accept that by faith. Can you say amen? You know, we use the term faith for getting things and cars and this and that, you know, but really Bible faith is to believe in your righteousness even when you've done something unrighteous. Yeah. To believe that your righteousness is not based upon how good you are. Right. Righteousness is based upon how good Jesus was. Amen? Yeah. And that because of that, He's made us righteous. We'll never be righteous in ourselves. We'll never be able to do enough to obtain it. We have to accept it by faith as a gift from God. Can you say amen? So thank God today we can be a happy church. I was looking in the mirror the other day and I said, I got two sad of eyes. I started praying. I said, Lord, I want to have happy eyes. You ever meet somebody with happy eyes? You know, I said, my eyes are getting too sad, Lord. You got to give me some happy eyes. I want happy eyes. Amen. So I'm praying. Thank you, Jesus. I got happy eyes. See, our position is sonship. But our calling is discipleship. See, there's a difference between your position and that what your calling is. See, Jesus called His disciples out from just being followers to be his people that He's going to make disciples of men. And so we realize that not just being the son is not good enough. You know, I got grandsons, and my heart still prays and cries out to God for them because I'm not satisfied with just having grandsons. I want them not just to be my disciples, but His disciples. Can you say amen? I have a desire for a relationship with them that's based upon God and not just my physical blood. Can you say amen? And so we thank God today. Our position is sonship. Our calling is discipleship. Amen. And everybody say, no more separation. No more separation. See, the devil tries to separate us. Amen. Jesus said, you know, a house cannot be conquered unless it's separated. A house divided cannot stand. What do you think the devil comes into churches to do? You think he's just a mischief maker like the world thinks he is, just a mischief? No, he's an evil genius and he's trying to break up the church. Amen. He does it through our weakness. And our lack of ability to cast down imaginations, cast down feelings, cast down accusations. We've been talking a little bit, Pastor and I, about some of the situation we found out that people believe things about people and never even asked. Yeah. I got a pastor right now, I'm counseling one. Well, he actually sits on my board and has gone through a divorce. And the first thing that people said, well, he must be in an affair. Yeah. He's lost half his church. With absolutely no proof, no nothing, and it's a situation I can't get, you know, really talk about, but yet it's a situation to where half his church left him without any proof that there was any, but just one guy that wanted to have a position, he wants really to take over the church, and seed and discord in the brethren, and it's a mess. And the devil's sitting back and going, yummy, yummy. I got me another one, you know. And so we need to watch out in these days that we live in, that we not be ignorant of the devil's devices. I it shouldn't crack me up, but I got a little problem with that when especially people get in my case about something, and then I watch their life a little bit, and I see them go down the tubes because of things in their own life. And so that's kind of a sick satisfaction of pouring coals upon their heads, you know, that they'll see it themselves. But that's scriptural. The Bible says that them that dig a hole for you fall in it themselves. But he also tells us not to rejoice in it either, but pray for them. And so we don't mean to, but sometimes people, they don't realize. And Jody and I have been talking a lot about that lately. Just all the friends that we've known that's done things to other people that we watch their life, and their life is just going down the chute. They're deteriorating before your eyes, and they're a sinking ship, and they don't realize it. Paul said, you know, they've become on the rocks in life, and they don't realize that they need to get rid of that bitterness and upset because it's destroying them. And we don't realize our importance to the church and one another. That somehow we think that we can do things and it won't hurt of anybody. I know when I was in the Navy, I left home and, bless God, I went to fulfill my dreams, and I'm not hurting anybody but myself. And so, yeah, I did it until I hurt, till I didn't want to do it anymore. But I never realized in all that activity, if I died or this or that would happen to me, that my family would have grieved. Sure. I never realized, I never thought that I was actually important to anybody. But we are very important to one another. And as the day grows older, we're going to see it more and more. Turn with me to Matthew 10:28, if you would. And who'd like to read for me 28 through 31? We got any readers in the house tonight? Matthew 10, verse 28 through 31. Okay, go ahead, sir. All right. It's in the New Testament. I have to tell that to the guys. I do notes in the jail now, and we hand out, we buy Bibles for everybody, so they all have the same Bible, so they all have the same page. So I don't say Matthew 10:28 anymore. I say page whatsoever, you know, because they sat there until, you know, quite some time. Okay, sir, go ahead. That's it. Wow. God knows our every move. Can you say amen? He's not surprised. And I really believe that's not really talking about God is going to kill your soul. He's not going to do that. But he's able. Thank God today he's not going to do it, because if he did it, he'd violate his own word. See, in the Old Testament, we have to really realize we need to come out of the Old Testament and get into the New Testament. You know, that was hard. We named our church New Covenant Living, not realizing that people had no idea what New Covenant was. We thought everybody knew that the New Covenant was the New Testament, you know. And Hebrews 8 says it's a better covenant than the Old Covenant, and that the Old Covenant has passed away. I am surprised at the amount of people is trying to bring Jewish laws and Jewish traditions into the Christian church. I just had somebody, and I, believe me, I mean, it was, I took a risk because somebody came up with the first fruits. Oh, yeah. And Dr. Budge was heavy into that. And this is scriptural, and I'm not against first fruits. But the Jewish holiday is between now and November something or other. And in the Jewish tradition, tradition of that, you had to give your first fruits in that segment, or you had to wait for the whole year to get blessed. Yeah. So this lady come up, and she handed me a pretty nice check, by the way. You know, it wasn't my name on there, but it was for the church, first fruits. She handed it to me, made a big spectacle of it. Here's my first fruits, you know. And she said, and if you don't get your first fruits in here, you're not going to get blessed either. Well, then she set herself up to get rebuked.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had to deal with that. You see, we're not under the tradition. Jesus told us clearly that he's the first fruits. Amen. And all that tradition was only to point to him. It wasn't to point us in the new believer church in the New Testament to go back into the Jewish tradition. I have another guy who wants to blow the shofar horn. And he's got a whole teaching on that. And it's all good. And you can rejoice in it. But listen to me. We're not Old Testament. I don't have any sheep. I don't blow a sheep horn. You know, I never have. I play a banjo, you know what I'm saying? And it's a great, it tickles you, and it makes you feel good. And guess what? But it's not a tradition of the New Testament church. You know, man? And so, you know, Hanukkah and all the different, and they want me to pronounce all these Hebrew holidays and all this. Listen to me, I don't have any of those holidays. I'm a heathen. I was a heathen saved. I don't have no religious background. I never went to a church in my life for 30 years. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not going to act like some Hebrew priest up here. Okay. That made me feel good. I got that off my chest. But I don't know about down here, but is that trying to happen around here quite a bit? You know? And they're all good things. I'm not knocking those things because they were pictures and shadows of Jesus coming. Amen. Every one of them are for this. Now, Jesus has fulfilled. The climax has happened. Why would I go back to foreplay? When I have him. And I have everything fulfilled in him. Praise God. There's nothing lacking. I don't have to do one thing. I don't have to skip, hop, pull my ear, you know, do anything to get this thing working. Amen. It's been working for 2,000 years and it's still working. Hallelujah. And you say amen. Amen. We thank God today. Everybody say good God. Good God. Bad devil. Bad. Choose life. Yeah. I'm for choosing life. I got my church all shook up because I'm celebrating my 70th year. I turned 70 in August and so I'm celebrating my 70th year birthday. All year long. It's my holiday, and that's one of the reasons I'm down here. I just, when I get feeling like I want to do something, I just say, goodbye, guys. I'm going down to Texas. All right. Turn with me to Matthew 9:35. Somebody read that for me real quick. 9:35. Yeah, continue on down through 38, please. Amen. God bless you for reading out of the King James. I'll tell you what, that's I never could read out of the King James. I was a poor reader, and I had to get into a Living Bible or something simple because that these and thus just messed me all up. Amen. And I never could get all that stuff. But thank God today, Jesus, everybody say Jesus said. Jesus. The harvest is what? Plentiful. Yep. But the labors are what? Few. So we need to understand that Jesus is making a call in the days that we live in, that if we're disciples, then we're going to go forth. Can you say amen? And guess what? Somebody else has already done the labor. This gospel has been preached, especially in the United States, to one side of this country, to the other side. So now all we got to do is go reaping. You know, people are saying that things are getting darker and people are falling away from God, blah, blah, blah. Because why? They're not hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're hearing about tradition. They're hearing about this. I even heard that the Catholic Church is growing because they put laws and regulations out there. And the young people, now they must have young people I haven't heard of, because all the ones I know about is rebelling against that very thing. But their structure. Well, you know what it is. You can go in there, feel good about yourself, and go home with no responsibilities to nothing more. Right. You can get up early Or if you don't want to get up, you've been partying all night, you can go to late Mass on Saturday, or you can go to a later Mass on Sunday, you talk about, we got an advertisement in the paper one time, and they misspelled our name and called us New Convenient Living. And we don't make it convenient for anybody. We believe that Jesus is Lord, and we should be disciples of Him. Amen. And so I get my people working. And we want to thank you in this church, because you inspired me to go home. We signed up for a state pantry, and we got we just got our number. We're ordering. We got our first order of food. We have a goal of serving 100 people, and so we've got a key spot in town. One of our business people have a clothing store, and they're hooking their free clothing up to that, and so we're all hooked up to go first Thursday in November, and I want to thank you and the church that you've labored for, because now I'm reaping from that labor. Was able to increase. I don't have to repeat what he did. I was able to tap into what you already done here, and I already gone to the point, got the people, and so we're fired up and getting ready to go. So that's what fellowshipping in church is all about. We reap from each other. Amen. So we thank God today, and then we tweak it according to our own fellowship and church and needs of that thing. So we thank God today that we serve the Lord and that we are not without a shepherd. Can you say amen? And so we thank God today that there's so many key words there. The gospel of the kingdom, he was moved with compassion. I think we need to get on our faces and pray until compassion gets there that moves us to do something. Can you say amen? Compassion does something. Pity does nothing. Oh, I just feel so bad about those people. That don't get nothing done. Compassion will say, I see their need and I'm going to meet it. That's compassion. Jesus said, I have what you need. Amen. What is the kingdom of God about? What is the gospel about? The good news of the gospel. Can you say amen? God's not mad at us. He's for us. Can you say amen? And he created us from creation. We've never been lost. You know this whole thing, the lost. We've never been lost from God. Now, I was lost to him because of my own actions. But when I hear the good news that God has reconciled me through his son Jesus Christ, now I can respond to that. Can you say amen? But I was never lost. We use that term, the lost. We need to win the lost. They're not lost. You know? I mean, they're lost in their own sin. They're lost in that fact that they're separated from God. They're, yes, lost. But if we really twist it around, most people are realizing, saying that we're lost to God. No, you're not. He's the guy that made you. Mama, Dad didn't do it. Oh, they might have the physical things of it, but man doesn't give the spirit. God gives the spirit. And we had a spirit when we were born into this earth. If you didn't have a spirit, you wouldn't be here right now. Amen. The only thing that keeps your body here on this earth is your body is subject to gravity. And your spirit is in this thing called flesh, and your soul is in here. But guess what happens if this body stops working today? Your spirit don't stop. Amen. But it can't stay on this earth any longer. You know, all these people, holiday coming up, the Halloween, this is when all the spirits and the spookies and all this stuff. You know why I'm never scared of that junk? Because I know spirits can't stay here. Amen. You know those demons was in that guy? Spirits have to have somebody. When Jesus is going to cast them out, oh, can we go into the swine? I mean, they wanted to stay on this earth. They have to have a body or they can't stay. Amen. Wickedness in high places, the Bible calls them, in the air. But they can't stay. They can't stay on this earth. Thank God. Can you say amen? Amen. There's wickedness. There's spiritual things going on all the time. And we need to understand that we have the rule over them. There's no fear in us. You know, when I was going to Haiti, the first time I said I was going to go to Haiti. Oh, there been voodoo people over there. Yeah, you know how they make zombies? You know, there's literally are zombies. I've seen them. There is literally a thing called zombies, and they are the dead raised. But the trouble is, they never was really dead. They drug them and give them a drug, And that what happens is it slows the heartbeat down. They proclaim them dead. They bury them. And because they're without oxygen for too long, they have brain damage. And they are the walking, they look like the walking dead. They're just zombies. And they use them. They use them for scaring people. And they get control over people. Say, this is what's going to happen to you. And so the witches over there, but you, I'll tell you, it's the only place in the world I've ever been where you could see the satanic church on one mountain. Everything dead. Everything dead. Over here, here's the next mountain. Everything's flourishing because there's a Christian church there. Okay? And so their mountains are like this. Goes down, goes up. And so you literally can see and actually shout to the person that's over on the other hill or the mountain. So we've seen it. We've been there. And guess what? The devil's a liar. Amen. There's nothing to fear. Praise God. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Matthew 10:1 says, and when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Everybody say power. Power. Why can I have boldness and be brave? Because I got power. Amen. I got power over unclean spirits. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and rulers. Our problem in this nation is not our president. I got sad news for you. There's a spiritual war going on for this nation right now, and we, the church, can withhold it and stop it if we'll get on our knees and we'll pray. I believe we have power. Everybody say power. Power. We can break the power of this thing if the churches of America, if every church, whoever's name there, if we would all collectively come together, not to do to go and storm the White House and picket and everything else, but if we would fall on our knees, I'll tell you what, the whole nation, I'll tell you what, we'd see some things changing right now. I mean, if the Christians would just vote. It's an abomination how many Christians are scared and talking about our government right now, but not voting themselves. It's crazy. Don't you think that they're being lulled and lied to? If you're one of those things, just go ahead and repent and vote the next time. But we need to get out and pray and then get the mind of God on who to pray for and then do that. I got a twinge of a revelation the other day. You know, until we can match the zeal of the Muslim, we better shut our mouth. Matter of fact, when I was up in Canada, I was with my traveling friend, Larry Salt. He's an Ojibwe Indian chief, matter of fact, grand chief. And he's got a lot of clout to bring the Indian nations together. And so we've been praying and asking the Lord how we're going to do it. But anyways, he was supposed to preach Sunday, and he got up, and I don't know what, I think he wasn't actually joking. He was just, he'd gotten this attack on his body, like a real bad cold or something. And I was getting ready to come down here, so I was binding it, saying, in the name of Jesus, you're not getting on me, you know. And so I'm in the room with him, you know, and we're got the same room. And he's sneezing, coughing, carrying. He gets up, and I gave him some NyQuil because he just wasn't sleeping. I said, man, you're going to sleep tonight so I can sleep. And so I gave him some NyQuil and drugged him to sleep, you know. And he goes to sleep, and he gets up, he staggers out of bed, he's going about toward the bathroom, he goes, man, what am I supposed to preach on this morning? I said, and this just came out of me so quick that I got to thinking about it. Wake up, shut up, and line up. And he said, that's a good one. And then he said, wait a minute, that's not my message. But you know what? That's something we better do. Instead of talking about the Muslim, talking about this, we need to wake up, wake up, and then stand up. And we need to stand up and line up and get ourselves aligned with the Word of God and go forth. Can you see him? We are a mighty army. And this isn't for weaklings. This is for the bold and the brave. When you signed up, you just thought you were going to get to heaven and that's okay. Honey, you signed up for war. And this world is in a war right now. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, and all the bickering and complaining and all the stuff that we do ain't going to do any good. But when we start tapping into the power, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and get out there and start praying, we're gonna see some things. See, to be a disciple, there's some requirements. We need to be that requirement. The number one requirement is to be what? To be a follower of Christ. The early church was called Christians because they were followers of Christ. They were Christ-like. And if your neighborhood, what does your neighborhood say about you? Are they calling you a Christian? Or are they calling you religious? What do they call you? Are you doing the works of Jesus so they will call you Jesus? Or are you just occupying your space? You got a nice little Christian home. Go to church. Drive a nice car. Now, I don't mean to be critical. I don't mean, you know what I'm saying? I do want to stir you. If you don't want me back, that's fine. But Pastor loves me. He won't make me stay away. But anyways, I'm not that way. I'm not Terry Mize. Yeah. Terry Mize can get you mad. You know what I'm saying? Because he's telling you the truth raw.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to start telling the truth a little raw to get us motivated to get off our blessed assurance, yeah, and get it going. Amen. Everybody say rewards. Woo, I'll tell you what. What was Jesus' reward? He saw the blind, eyes open. He seen the lame to walk. I'll tell you what, there's nothing greater. We were in Haiti again. I guess it's on my mind here. I guess maybe I'll be going back or something. I don't know. But anyway, so we were out in the villages. We were dedicating roofs. You build a building and we put the roof on it. So we'd buy roofs up there. And they asked me to come over and dedicate the building. So we came over and dedicated some buildings. And it's gotten late and we're coming out darker. And I mean, Haiti, when the sun goes down there, it gets just black. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of you. And we're weighing our way out with the Jeep. And some guy comes to the road and flags us down. Said, apparently it was like a great aunt or something of Raul, the guy I'm traveling with. And he goes, Aunt so-and-so is sick unto death. Come, please pray. And so what would you think when somebody says somebody's sick unto death? You say, she was sick, and if she don't get healed, she's going to die. I mean, so you'd still say she's among the living at that point, wouldn't you? That's how we took it. So we went down there. They give us a little oil lamp, and their little huts are in a circle. And you won't believe how many people are sleeping in that thing, you know. And you wind around, got this little light, and there's little shoots off there. You know, that's where they're sleeping, little cubby holes they're sleeping. We get all the way around. Here's this lady laying on the floor, and she's in her pajamas. I thought they were pajamas anyways, kind of silky-looking things. And so we knelt down there, and I was on one side and Raul on the other side. So we prayed for her, and we thought, well, it's God. Let the lame walk, and, you know. And so we just grabbed her by both arms and popped her up. And so she stood there, and we walked out with her. And we got outside, and it was like the parting of the Red Sea. The man, they saw her. They split. Just everybody screamed and ran. Because here she is. She's in a white gown type of thing. Anyway, it looked like a ghost coming out of there. Well, to them, she was a ghost because she was sick unto death, all right. She had died.
Yeah. Wow.
And we didn't know it. Everybody say, thank God for ignorance. Amen. So the gift of faith was in operating. It wasn't us. We didn't pray for her to be raised from the dead. We just prayed for her to be healed, you know, and released the workings of miracles and snatched her up. Amen. And thank God today because I don't know if she's still alive today because that's been a few years ago. But up until my last talk with Raul, she was still up and still living. And so we actually had to give them money for food to feed her because they over there are so poverty mentality there that they won't feed old people when they think they're dying. They won't waste their food on them. That's what they say. Amen. So we thank God today. We got more scriptures, but I think that getting to the point of we understand that we are called to be disciples, bold and fearless and brave. Amen. The Armed Services of America, many have that slogan, the bold and the brave. But I'll tell you what, they don't have a comparison to the children of God. Amen. That's equipped by God to do the bold things. And so my last statement on that requirement ends of it is stop complaining about the Muslims until you match their zeal. Amen. So we want to not step back, but to go forward, sell out to love, not to give up, and then preach the kingdom of God, healing every sickness, deliverance, And always in love, praying and sending laborers into the harvest field. Disciples reproduce disciples.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? Disciples are the only people that that reproduce disciples. Christians that just come to church never reproduce Christians. You ever notice that? They might come and they might go. You get them here 1 week and they're gone. You have to disciple people. You have to understand that this relation, first of all, comes relationship. That comes when you go into their life and you meet some of their needs and you're involved in their life. Relationship. Then resource. All your resources become their resources. If you're stingy, you'll never be a disciple maker. Okay? If you're a private individual, you'll never develop relationships. One of the great things that we have with Mike and a few other pastors around, we started not to build some kind of a ministry out of it. We started to build relationships. Yeah. Now the resources that our ministries have, we're starting to give to each other.
Yeah,
and then now we have one other thing. We start focusing on outreach. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the word? Intimacy into you, I see. See, most people don't want intimacy because they don't want you seeing into them. They don't want you to know them because they got secrets. Show me a person that won't fellowship and I'll show you a person that got secrets. Amen. And so we're going to thank God today. We're not that. Can you say amen? Lift your hands to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm free.
Thank you, Jesus, I'm free.
One of the greatest things that we can have from the Lord is, I don't have secrets in me. I'm free. People can be around me. They're going to see who I am. So, Father, I thank you today, Father, for relationship. Father, for this intimacy. One with you. One with the Spirit. One with one another. Father, we thank you. Into you, I see. Into me, you see. And we thank God today, Father, for our resources and our outreach. All to build the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? We're not building, even though you're building this church, you're not building this church, you're building the kingdom of God.
Yes, that's right.
This church is the kingdom of God. We're the under-shepherds, we're not the shepherd. He's the great shepherd. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We want to thank you today, and let me pray for you one more time. Would you bow your heads with me today? You know, I learned as a salesman. You know, a sale wasn't a sale until you got a commitment. You know, I've seen salesmen just talk and talk and talk and talk. They did their pitch good, but they failed to bring them to a conclusion. I want to ask you today if, you know, everybody just bow your heads for a second. I don't want you looking around. I just, you know, I'm only going to be looking. I'm not judging anybody, but you've been having a struggle in this very topic about getting out and sharing the gospel, fear of rejections, all the rest of that stuff. And you know you could do a little bit better job. Would you just sort of raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me right now. I want to be more. I want to do that. I want to be a disciple. Not just a follower. I want to go to another level. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for these hands that's raised. Father, I thank you today. Now I pray to the Lord of harvest that you send forth them, Father, into the fields that you have already prepared for. There is a field of harvest already prepared for you. So, Father, I thank you today. Father, for right now, Father, thank you. For the boldness for them to go forth and be that person that you've created them to be. That they're not going in their power, but they're going in your power. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you.